just want to give you a brief overview of what we're going to do. First, Mr. Michael McLaughlin is going to give us a little insight and presentation on the program called All God's Children that we are looking at, and so we will start off with that. And then after he's through, we'll get into more of the business agenda of our meeting, which we'll probably start with Russ. We'll be sharing some stuff, discussion on the ministry leaders and all that goes on with that. Jerry will be talking to us about the financial status and budget. And David will give us an update on the minister search. And at the end, Peter is going to answer any questions you might have. And we will all be up here to help him. And then last and finally, Morris will close us out. And so without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Michael McLaughlin. He's going to share with us about the program, All God's Children. So, Michael.
There we go. Well, hi. Thank you for having us and for me being able to speak here. I am Michael McLaughlin. I'm the pastor of First Presbyterian Church and been here, it's hard to believe, but we've been here 2.5 years. And All God's Children is a ministry that God has built, and it started, at least I became aware of it, January of 2009. Had a couple of church members come into my office after the sermon, which isn't always, well, sometimes you wonder what's going to happen when somebody comes right after the sermon, but anyway, they both teach at Westwood Elementary, and they felt like, and had felt like for some time, that God was calling them to do, well, really even more, because being a teacher, as you all know, if you're teachers, you know teachers, they're already in a calling, but they felt like experiencing some of the things they experienced with the students at Westwood, that they were being called to do more particular, well, we didn't know for sure yet, but they thought it had something to do with the fact that kids were coming to school hungry, ill-prepared, sometimes not having supplies and these sorts of things. So they came to me, and we immediately prayed on it and started kind of studying together. We studied scripture. We also picked up some books about hunger and the working poor and these sorts of things, and did a study. Didn't really know what was going to come of it, but we ended up being, I think, led to a couple of different key scriptures for us. One in Jeremiah is in the 32nd chapter, and I promise I won't go on a sermon, but in this chapter, Jeremiah ends up buying land in the face of basically a siege. You know, the barbarians are coming, and of course the last thing you would probably want to do is buy land when here comes the horde. And we kind of saw that as a metaphor, because God promised that land would again be bought and vineyards would be built in that land. And so in the face of what seemed like maybe even ridiculous odds, God called Jeremiah to buy some land. And we kind of looked at the youth as that sort of investment. And of course, at the time, the economy had bottomed out. And so it, while they weren't literal barbarians, we could kind of see some parallels there. That was part of our study. We also looked at the 4th chapter of Acts, where, you know, the believers pray for boldness, and then here comes the Holy Spirit, and then they end up sharing their belongings among one another, to each as any had need, at least the translation that I'm familiar with says that. And so those were guiding scriptures, and as it went along, we ended up figuring out that this was going to have something to do with hunger, and we were going to be called to respond to hunger, particularly in the Westwood neighborhood, but of course the problems are all around Coffee County and beyond. So that's a little bit of the background. That starts in the winter of 2009, and we had our first summer meal program begin in the summer of 2009, and I can give you some more specifics now as we get into the slides. This is our official logo, All God's Children. We intentionally call it an ecumenical community ministry. You know, it arose in the walls of First Presbyterian Church, but now, and there's so many different churches involved, both in Manchester and this is, I was told when I came here that this was a big deal. I didn't believe it, but churches in Tullahoma. Because I was told there's like a divide between Manchester. Oh, come on. They're 12 miles away. There can't be a divide. Well, yeah, maybe there is. But First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Tullahoma have volunteered and been part of it. But a number of churches in town, businesses, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but banks, the Housing Authority, Food Lion, all these places that either individuals, through time, through money, through their own volunteering, probably some of you all through other organizations like Rotary and things, have made this been able to happen. So this is actually our official mission statement that we want to embrace God's justice or the justice flowing from God by resisting the injustice of poverty and hunger in the lives and youth of Coffee County. This is key for us through a relational ministry of nourishment and mutual presence. Now, of course, that nourishment, literally nourishment in their bellies, but there's the spiritual nourishment as well. We really focused in the first couple of years on getting the kind of structure in place to provide the food. I believe and I hope that part of my presence here with y'all tonight is that we can start to now build better sharing the gospel teaching. A lot of these kids have churches, but probably more than half don't. And so, you know, hearing the good news and hearing the gospel through VBS type things, stuff like that, that's something that I hope that God is growing in this ministry. And it's a mutual presence in that we really, you get to know these kids. It has completely changed for me as a parent of two kids at Westwood. When I go to pick them up or go to a meeting or whatever, I know stories. You know, I know these kids. They're saying hi. And while that's wonderful, I also know some of the challenges that they're facing. But I think in that mutual presence and getting to know them, that's where God is at work in this ministry. So one of the things that's really made it possible is Second Harvest Food Bank. We're actually a kids' cafe provider. It's a type of provider. And so we're a partner of them. And they provide during the summer only, and I'll tell you about how the after-school program started as well. They provide cereal, sometimes some snacks, and occasionally like bowls or plastic spoons. But, of course, it's Second Harvest, so it depends on what they receive. But the big thing is they provide cereal, which is a tremendous cost. And so they provide that, and we make sure that's available through the summer program. And then, as I mentioned earlier, partnered with lots of churches, businesses, and community groups. Can you all read that? Okay. You all probably know some of these statistics, but I think it's good to be reminded of them again. The neighborhood there, and particularly the kids that go to Westwood, it's about 75 to 80% of them are on free or reduced lunches. So in other words, hunger is a need that has been demonstrated and they can have there. So it should be two winters ago. We became concerned about the health and well-being of students when those free and reduced lunches aren't there. And it's not just lunches. It's also breakfast if they get there early enough, right? So that's potentially two meals a day that during the 12 weeks of summer just aren't there, or at least we don't know how they're there if they are. And so So that was our focus. As I said, we studied together and we came to be aware of these statistics. We really kind of keyed in on that. And so basically I just went out and wrote letters and started talking to pastors and, you know, banks, et cetera, and kind of saying this is what we want to do. And thankfully the Manchester Housing Authority, and it couldn't have happened without their generosity and hospitality, really, because we looked at originally doing it at our church, which we're over there by Food Lion. And these kids, most of them walk everywhere. I mean, so the idea of them crossing that intersection and trying to come to our church, that made me very afraid, and we don't have a bus or anything. So that was out. That wasn't going to happen. And I also think that mutual presence piece, you really need to be in the community where they are. And so this works out well. We're at 212 Coffee Street. You may have driven by it. There's actually a sign out in the yard that says All God's Children, has that logo on it. And we have different times that we're open, and we're able to switch the times out and everything so the kids know when we're open. So it's right there on the corner apartment at Butler Circle and Coffee Street. So that's where all this happens. Let's see, I think.
So it's an apartment?
Yeah. It's a three-bedroom apartment, and we've just, well, I didn't, but some folks that with sensibility about design and so went in and kind of spruced it up and basically made dining rooms and in the bedrooms. And then, and yes, by the way, if you have questions, please let me know and I'll try to answer.
How did you say they know when you're open?
Well, they know primarily through word of mouth. And see, we have regulars now. So we have one guy, we call him the mayor. He makes sure everybody knows what's going on. They're hilarious and they're great. But we can do announcements. We'll do announcements through the school and just say, you know, All God's Children is open today, or remember, we're open back up after the holiday, that kind of thing. But there's also a sign that we had made that's out in the yard, and it's just a magnet. We have magnets, so for the different times, we're able to slap those on there, whether it's like the after-school program is open from 3 to 4:30, but during the summer, it's different times, so we're able to do that. That's relatively new. We had that made this summer. The emphasis of the last part of this slide is that we understand this as God's mission, and we're kind of along for the ride, and it has been quite a ride. We didn't expect it to become what it has. Again, thanks to that Manchester Housing Authority 3-bedroom, there's the answer to our question there. So you'll see some. So here's some examples of where, you know, we wanted it to be not some kind of like institutional place, but, you know, a place where they felt comfortable, where they come and have their food. And eventually, when we became an after-school program, we set up what was a reading room, and it ended up becoming a computer lab. I'll tell you a little bit about that at the end. So originally our vision was to just do breakfast Monday through Friday during those 11, 12 weeks of summer. And we started out and we served about 100 kids a day that first summer of 2009. And our numbers were about the same this past summer of 2010. It's from May through August. One of the things that developed, again, that we didn't plan, but in Fridays ended up becoming, and I know Gene had been involved in some of those, we ended up becoming this thing called Fun Fridays. So we changed the schedule a little bit later, and we had different groups that would come out and cook there. So instead of the cold cereal and fruit, and we try to be nutritious Monday through Thursday, but on Friday you'd have the sheriffs cooking burgers or hot dogs, or different restaurants would come and bring food. So it became more of kind of a fun celebration on Fridays. Firemen would come out in August, spray the hose, different things like that, that just people would find out about it and want to be involved and come out and do fun stuff. So again, God sort of went beyond our imaginations with how this thing developed. That's Fun Fridays, and that continued, and we did that again this past summer. So here's some of the numbers from this past summer. In May and June, we served a little over 2,200 breakfasts and a little over 1,300 lunches. The lunches, by the way, we send those home. It's healthy, easy to prepare, like microwavable, hopefully, stuff like that in a sack. The idea being if they had to throw it in there on their own, if mom or dad were working, they could make it, but it would still be nutritious and not giving them junk food or anything. So those are the lunches that were take-home, but the breakfasts are all served there at the apartment. In July, just under 2,000 breakfasts served and just almost 1,800 lunches, not really served, but I guess delivered or handed out. It is ecumenical. Lots of different churches and traditions involved, which, I mean, I personally am just humbled and excited about that. We have volunteers and, I mean, Sunday school classes at a church. At First Baptist, they decided they wanted to collect food and give. And that you find a lot, too, is even if churches aren't formally, it's not necessarily one of their ministries, you'll have folks at that church that want to be involved, or a Sunday school class or something like that, that kind of pitch in, either by collecting juice boxes, which is always helpful, or, you know, it's one of the items that we could use, which we kind of have a wish list that we can hand out if anybody's interested in that. I don't have it with me, but I can make it available of the ongoing needs that we have. Because we get the cereal for free, but everything else we buy. And so we go to Sam's and purchase, hopefully, as much as we can in bulk that way for the other materials. First Methodist. I mean, this isn't even an exhaustive list. It's grown since then. But First Methodist, Canvas Community Church, First Christian Tullahoma, I mentioned, First Baptist. I think Trinity Baptist had a Sunday school class maybe that was involved. So then we thought, well, okay, summer's over. It's time to rest. That was good. We'll wait till next year. Well, then it turned out God called us to do an after-school program. So it grows into that. And it's much more simple. But basically, the kids come at 3 p.m., and it's Monday through Thursday, and they come at 3. We give them, you know, like a pretzel pack and a juice box, and then we help them with homework. It's not really tutoring because it's not as in-depth as that, so if you'd like to help with that, don't worry. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or anything, although you may have some rocket scientists here, but that's the great part about Manchester and Tulum. But they, you know, they come, and again, we have regulars. Our numbers are not as high as the summer. It's about 30 to 40 a day, which is actually a lot more tenable when you've got that apartment full of kids. And, you know, they come, they do their stuff, and they eat their snack, and then they head out, and they're done by 4:30. So that's what ended up happening, and so we're now into our second school year of doing an after-school program as well. And then we had a donation that made it possible. Let me get this right. I think it was, I don't want to say the wrong group, but there was a community group that gave us a donation that slipped my mind right now, but we were able to purchase, well, really, y'all probably know, some of y'all know Doug Girard, a member of our church. He was able to build 3 computers for a really low price, and so we have a computer lab now available there for the older youth so that they can access, like if they have homework and they need computers that they don't have at home, they can go there, use the computer. It's monitored. We have all of the monitoring software and stuff like that, and so they can now have access to a computer and a printer, which is pretty remarkable. Again, one of the other things we didn't expect, but it kind of grew. So I just went through that, 3 to 4. We really, for anyone who may be involved in volunteering, hopefully that could be some of y'all, we keep it really simple. We have really simple instructions, calendar. We say, here's what's served on this day, and it's usually waiting for you when you get there, so you don't have to figure it all out, because the volunteer from the day before makes it ready for the next person. So it's just a calendar that hangs on the wall, keeping it simple. And there's an example. So, you know, Tuesday, here's what your snack is for Tuesday for the after-school program. That's Kim Davis at the top and Deidre Goins at the bottom. Those are the 2 teachers that came into my office. I half-jokingly tell them that now when they come towards me together, I'm a little bit unsure what they have in mind, what's gonna come about. And these are some of the kids. So that's the slideshow. I hope I didn't go way over the time, but if you all have any questions or comments, I would be happy to entertain them now. Oh, yes.
She had a fluent Spanish name here, and we were wondering how many Hispanic kids do you have, and would there be a need for if you have somebody who could help?
Good. Great. So 51% of the folks who come are Caucasian, and pretty much 49% of the folks that come are Latino. The kids, for the most part, they speak English, and but when I've had some trouble, like getting permission slip for some other things, like we did something during spring break at the art center, and I had to get permission slips, and the parents, a lot of them don't speak English. Well, I thought, well, I'll just get someone who speaks Spanish, and I'll solve all the problems. Well, it didn't, because a lot of the parents speak indigenous languages, either sort of Mayan dialects or other things, and so even Spanish was not totally, didn't solve all my problems, although it is much more helpful than me, because I can basically, you know, order food in Spanish, and that's about it. So I'm not helpful at all in that. So if you could help with that, that would be fabulous, especially when we need to interact with the parents, because there are times where we need permissions and things like that. One of the things I didn't mention, and I'll stop after this, is I believe that there's a place that God is calling us, particularly during the summer, to provide kind of like a vacation Bible school, VBS, or a mini version of that or something, to share the gospel in a fun way that, you know, that they can have fun and learn about Jesus there. So maybe that's why we've been joined together. I don't, or part of why we've been joined together. And if that's the case, let's do it. I mean, let's work together. It'd be great. So the short answer, which I rarely ever give, is that would be great. Thank you. Yeah. Are there others? Yes. No. No. Right. Well, they're not really, except the fact that it's great that there's a backpack program. BJ Fan is the person at Westwood who oversees that, as well as other things, and I've been in communication with her. And so, and that's the key with all this stuff, is just good communication, because a lot of people and groups are doing things, but it's so important to have the communication so you don't duplicate, so you can marshal your resources and really, you know, do the most we can with what resources we have. So that's a good part. We felt good about not being open on weekends because at least there's a backpack program. And I think most of the schools have some version of that, I believe, within the city schools anyway. I don't know about the county. But we're not open on the weekends. Yes. Great, thank you. That's a good question. Currently, Canvas Community Church does Tuesdays, so they cover that, which frankly, that is great for me because I'm kind of the one that coordinates the volunteers. If there's a certain day that y'all would like to volunteer, that's good. It doesn't have to be that way. We can plug you in other spots. Wednesdays would be helpful. Mondays would be super helpful. And then Thursday, so basically any day except Tuesday. Yeah. Any day but Tuesday. It ebbs and flows. I mean, the juice box and snack donation is always helpful. The volunteer, just depending on, you know, I had some retired folks last year that took 2 days a week, and that was great, but they did it up for a whole year, and now they're ready for a break. So at this time, we could definitely use those volunteers on Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday. But, yeah, I mean, we're always in need. So one thing First Presbyterian did is we made the first Sunday of the month is All God's Children Sunday, and so along with the regular giving, if there's a treasure here, don't worry, we don't cut into that, but we have a special offering, so they bring juice boxes and then the kids collect them and bring them, and then we take them over there. And so it goes with, like, we also do a peanut butter Sunday for Good Sam. It was the same idea as that, and that's one way that other churches have done that as well. I think First Methodist might do something like that. Yes, sir. Great question. It comes up pretty much every time I go and speak to a group. We have talked about it, you know, as of now. And by the way, we our structure, we do have a board. We're still not on our own legs. We're working on becoming a 501c3, and I have a local young attorney that's helping to do that. So that's part of that because, you know, you can access grant money and things with that status that you can't if you're just under the umbrella of the church, which is what we are now. But we have talked about it as a board, which we went ahead and formed one ahead of that. And we feel like right now, you know, we're called to be where we are. And it's kind of, I mean, we're a tiny church, really. I mean, now there are about 90 of us. But because of the partners, we're able to do more. But we feel like this is about what we're able to do. Now, as it grows, I mean, this is the thing, is the need, I think, in Coffee County, and y'all may know more, it's so great that there could probably be one in multiple neighborhoods. You know, there could probably be one, I've heard some talk that there could be one kind of over behind, like Hardee's and that, I don't know as well, but that there is need in other places. So I think, yes, it's needed, but at this time, we're trying to maintain what we're doing now. Does that answer your question? Is that what you meant? Or, okay, all right. Yes. Nothing as formal, nothing as full as what I think could be done over there. And we had some college kids come and sing some songs a couple of times. You know, we've had some piecemeal parts, but we haven't had, not a huge thing. Now, our church did hold an ice cream social over there and, you know, do some things like that to try to connect it to the congregation so that it's not just a place where we send money or volunteers, but that we're, you know, building that relationship. But no, not a full VBS. I think it would be awesome. It would be great to have it over there. So, anybody else? Thank you. I'm sure I took way more time than I was supposed to.
That's great. Thank you very much, Michael.
You have my contact information, and so yes, and Tom does as well. So email is always probably the best way to get with me, but phone is good as well. And however you all feel called to be part of this, I would love it. God bless you. God bless your business team.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We look forward the opportunity there to serve the community. As we get going into the business section of our meeting, just want to remind folks that, like Jesus told us, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. And so as we get started in our business this evening, let us keep that mindset of love, that we're all in this boat together, and our destination is heaven, to be with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. So as we get farther into the business, let's just search ourselves and look forward to serving with one another. And speaking, serving with one another, I would just like to point out one thing. As we have been meeting as an eldership now for a few months, and I have to say that we as an eldership have been in unison pretty much the whole time. I do believe it'd be a fair statement to make to you, just to report to you. We are learning together and growing together, and with God's grace, we will continue to go forward and to reflect Jesus to this community. And certainly, there's an opportunity that just stepped in our door just then to serve children in this community. So, thank you for the opportunity to serve. And now we'll go into the agenda, and kicking it off will be Russ. So I'll just turn it over to Russ.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Just thank you for being a part of this this body and loving this body enough and caring enough about this body to be involved in the work that's going on here and the work that we hope will go on in the future. Just really appreciate that. I love you guys, and thank you for being here. And I want to start with a prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this body of believers that meets here at Forest Mill. And Father, thank you for the hearts and the service that we see every day. And Father, thank you for blessing us. And we pray you will be with us tonight as I talk a little bit about our ministry areas and just for opportunities that are there and for those who are serving there. Father, we just pray that you will bless those and continue to give us these opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to do, first of all, is very quickly mention an update to our, what do you call it? Directory. My mind just went blank. A directory. You know, for a while there, we were asking you guys to fill one out. We put them on the clipboards with our attendance sheets. And a lot of you guys did that, and we appreciate that. Kathy has those now, and she's beginning to put all of that into just like a spreadsheet, okay? If you haven't had the opportunity to do that, I put a few blanks in the plastic holders by the door so that you can fill one of those out. What we want to do is just come up with a new, fresh list to call our directory right now. We don't have any plans to do anything formal yet, but that will help us to know birthdays and all of those kinds of things. So if you haven't filled one of those out, just ask that you would do that so that we can get that updated. And then hopefully in the next few weeks, we can print those off and give those out to the body, and we'll have phone numbers and contacts and all that stuff. So I think that'd be a good thing to do as we have kind of a new beginning and we get going again here at Forest Mill. I want to talk about the ministries. The shepherds have gotten together and talked about the ministries that we have in place, and each shepherd has kind of taken responsibility for two or three of those. So I want to share that with you so that you will know how the shepherds are kind of dividing up those responsibilities, who is in those ministry leader positions right now. And we've got a few that are open, and we're hoping that it falls on someone's heart to take up those leadership roles in those ministries and help us going forward. A lot of these things have not changed, but there are some things that have changed. Jerry will continue to be responsible for the finance stuff, and Doyle, who does such a great job with that, is sort of our leader there. He takes care of so many things for us, appreciate the hard work. You know, some of those things are time consuming, and we don't realize how much time these guys put into that. So we appreciate Doyle and his work there. And Jerry will also be overseeing our benevolence program and another area where there's just a tremendous amount of work. My eyes have been opened just in the last few months as to the needs out there that folks have from a benevolence standpoint. And Ray and Ken do such an awesome job dealing with that. You know, I just didn't have any idea how much time they spend talking to folks and helping folks. And it's a wonderful thing that this church family is so involved, and we may not realize how involved we really are, but the needs are everywhere out there. And we appreciate Ken and Ray and just the tremendous job that they do running folks around and helping folks with their bills. And it's just an unending task, and we appreciate that so much. David will be responsible for worship. And of course, Tommy heads up our worship ministry and does such a fantastic job leading our worship. He'll also be responsible for children's ministry, which Linda leads, and along with Marina and Elaine. And you know, our children's education program is so great over there. If you've ever had a chance just to step in there and hear them sing together and be involved in those classes, it's a really, really strong, wonderful ministry that these guys are doing, and that will continue going forward. And then also David will be responsible for the technology ministry, I guess you could call it. And of course, Ken does such a wonderful job of keeping our computers running, and that's almost a full-time job by itself, just keeping the facility going and the computers and the sound system and all that. So we appreciate all the work that Ken does on that. Peter will be responsible for the women's ministry, and Vanna will continue to lead the effort there in the women's ministry. She has such a heart for service, and we appreciate her so much. And Peter will also be responsible for buildings and grounds, which Marty is, which is our primary, I guess, point of contact, along with other folks. Ken's involved in that as well. Just tons of work to do there all the time. So if you ever just feel like you need somewhere to plug in and you want to do something, there's always work that needs to be done with the building and grounds. So there's a lot of opportunities there. And then Peter will also be overseeing the young adults ministry, which Andy and Cheryl were kind of instrumental in getting that going. And then we got Nick and Lindsay and Marcus and Zach and these guys, Paul and Jordan and Ashley. I don't want to leave anybody out now. I've started. Courtney. Who am I missing? this group right here, guys, is one of the strengths of this body. It's such a wonderful group of people. Got little kids coming up. They're the future of the church, and I'm so excited about them. They are so involved in stuff. I mean, Upward, they've been so involved in that. They're involved in our missions program. They've taken it on themselves just to help support some of our mission work just out of their class. It's just a fantastic group. And we appreciate all that they've done. And Peter will be overseeing that part. Joel is going to continue to be overseeing our youth program, which is another just fantastic strength of this body. We have a fantastic group of young people. We've been having close to 20, 25 kids back in there now, so we're excited about that. And Joel and Lisa just do a great job leading that, and will continue to do so. And Joel will also be overseeing our greeter ministry, which is sort of an open ministry right now as far as a leader goes. I know we have folks that do that, but that'd be a good area for us to have someone step up and just say, that's something I would like to coordinate. It's great to always have someone at the doors greeting people as they come in. Morris will be taking over or heading up our adult ministry education program, or adult education ministry, and that's another area that's kind of open right now. And hopefully that will fall on someone's heart to kind of pick that up and take over that area and help us coordinate our adult education. He'll also be overseeing our seniors ministry that he and Phyllis have helped with now for quite a good while. And then he'll be overseeing our transportation, which has to do with our bus and those things. And we have Lee and John McIntosh and a lot of folks that just kind of do that and take care of the bus when it's broken down. So we appreciate their hard work and efforts. And then I will be mainly working with missions. I'll continue to work with missions, and Dr. Glenn Davis is going to be taking over leading the missions program for us. You know, their whole family has a passion for missions and have been involved in so many mission trips, so I think that's a perfect fit for that, and we're excited that they're going to be involved in that. And I'll continue to work with the Upward program along with the Bynums and Tommy and Elaine, who they're just, if you ever want to get stuff done, go get Marina and Elaine involved. These guys get stuff done, and we appreciate the hard work and just the efforts that they've put into that. And we'll continue to do that. And then a men's ministry. We haven't had anyone leading that ministry for a while, so that's one that's kind of wide open too. If any of our men have a heart for that, that's something that we would like to have someone step up and lead. So if you're interested in that, let me know. I think that's all I needed to cover. I want to let Paul Wright, while I'm here, and I meant to do it while I was talking about missions, and I just kept on jabbering along, but Paul's got a mission trip coming up that he wanted to share just a little bit with us about. So, Paul, why don't you come on up? And while he's getting ready to do that, I just wanted to touch very quickly on Upward. You guys hear a lot about Upward. We mention that quite a bit. And as I look across this crowd, I mean, half of you guys are involved in Upward or more. And it's such a great ministry for this church. And it's going very well. We're 3 weeks in. We have an 8-week season, so we're almost to the halfway point. We've had some good responses. I know Marina was sharing with me today that a young lady put a card in our prayer box and said she would like for someone to mentor her in Christ. And, you know, we're going to follow up with that. We've had such wonderful testimonies and sharing at halftime from some of you guys, and I'm really looking forward to some of the ones that are to come. But Upward's going great. We appreciate all your support in that. The donations for the concession stand have just been unbelievable. We've pretty much been able to sell stuff that we didn't have to buy, so that's a good profit margin. And we're going to be able to just support other Upward programs and our awards night. And by the way, our awards night is going to be on February the 27th. We originally had kind of advertised right up front. We'd probably do that on March the 4th or 5th, but Sunday afternoon, February the 27th, is going to be our Upward celebration, and we want this whole body to be invited to that and come join in that with us. So you'll continue to hear more about Upward. Hope you don't get tired of hearing about it, but it's just been a blessing for my family, and I know for many others. So as I close, Jerry will be coming up, but before Jerry comes up, we want to let Paul share a little bit with us about his mission trip.
Jordan and I will be going to Honduras in March. We're going to be flying out on March the 10th and coming back on the 17th. And it's going to be a medical-based mission trip. We're going to be going to an organization called Mission Lazarus, which is a fairly large endeavor. They have a big ranch where they hire a lot of Hondurans, and they teach the local people various skills and trade skills so that they can use that to make money and feed their families. And they also have medical clinics and other various programs to help the people. We're primarily going to be working in their clinics, just giving out medical and pharmaceutical care. And we're going to be doing some VBS work. And the last few days we're going to be spending in Tegucigalpa, the capital city, just doing kind of the same type of things. There's a lot of items that we have a list for that we need. There's a lot of general hygiene items like toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, combs, soap and shampoo and things like that. We could also use some things for the VBS, like crayons, construction paper, yarn, glue sticks. Toys for the kids are nice, but just like little toys, like McDonald's type toys. There's some over-the-counter medicines like aspirin, ibuprofen, and Tylenol we could use. And also we have a big list of prescription drugs that we take down too. And so if you have access to maybe getting extra of those, just let us know and we can get you the list. You're what? Yeah.
Legally.
Legally, yes. also, I know this is a long shot, but if you would like to go on a trip like this, there are still some spots open, especially for a doctor or a nurse or something like that, or a dentist. We do have a need for a dentist. And also, if you would like to help monetarily, Jordan and I still need a little help paying for the trip, so you can just get with us, or we'll get the information to the elders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sunglasses and ball caps for the people who work in the sugar cane fields, because they have a lot of problems with infections in the eyes and because of all the dust that gets kicked up.
I was just going to ask, if you were given the money, it wouldn't be better to try to buy some of the items down there rather than have to ship them? If you have the money, could you not buy a lot of these things locally and not have to ship them?
Yeah, there's a lot of the medication that we can get cheaper down there. I think they get a lot of the parasite medication down there, and I don't know. Do you? Yeah, we'll get some, I don't know, did you say we get a lot of the medication down there? Yeah, we do get some of the medication down there because it is so much cheaper. But.
Oh, can you make a list of what you need?
Yeah, yeah, we'll get a list out, we can do that tonight before we go, so... I think just anything. All right. Any more questions? Yeah. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Since this is probably the first meeting, family meeting we've had since we've had the new elders, I did want to say something about the new elders. And I can't say enough good things about the elders that have come in. They brought in new energy, new ideas, and they not only have ideas and thoughts and everything, but they actually have the action and go out and help and support it. And so this congregation is really blessed with the new elders that are on board, and it's exciting. Glad so much to have them here. And don't believe when David said he's still on probation. That happened. He got off probation 10 years ago. So. But before I start, let's go to a word of prayer on this ministry and the church that we have. Father, just want to reach up to you and to let you know that we depend upon you. Father, we ask for your blessings on the things that we do. We ask for your guidance. We ask that you will bless the the members here to support the work, that it might be successful, that we might be able to reach more people in this community and more people in our congregation. And just help us to find that love in our heart, and as we move forward, to be able to support our programs. Father, these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen. I have just a few things here that I want to talk about. One of the things, the few little items that we want to talk about, we're going to be talking about some energy savings and cost reduction steps. And this is pretty obvious that based upon our current contributions and everything, we've had to take some energy saving steps in order to be able to use our money in areas that we need to more. So one of the things that we have done, and we, is the suspension of the support of the Alliance for Community Outreach. That's the organization that was on the square, and this was something that we had been putting quite a bit of money into, and I know that that organization partly went with the new congregation, and there probably being support there. So we felt like that we could find other areas that we could use that money. And so we have talked with them, and they understand, and they're good with the us redirecting our contributions to what's happening within our congregation. We have installed automatic switches in the bathrooms, lights, and fans. I walked in the restroom the other day, and all of a sudden the light came on. And I thought it was magic at first, but that's some of the things whenever you go in. Now, I don't know if it turned off when I left. But I do know when I came in, it came on. So those are some of the things. And again, that Ken and some of the other people on the technology committee are working on. And as they see where that they can cut cost, they're certainly stepping up and doing that. We found that the Harvest House is not being used. It was used just an hour or two on Wednesdays. And so we've suspended the activities over there. And we'll be closing it down. We'll either winterize it or simply turn the heat down to a minimum just so that nothing breaks, bursts, or still have some maintenance over there. But the main cost, we'll be able to save on that. We have a consolidation of custodial duties. Now then, we are glad to have Peggy is in charge of the custodial work here. Since we don't have, not using the Harvest House, then there was one individual that was cleaning that up, and so we've saved a cost there. And in the back, we have found that we only really need one person, and so Peggy has volunteered to step up and do a little bit extra. It's not going to be as much, she's not going to be spending as much time as she's currently spending, but she'll be able to do a few extra, spend a little extra time and take care of those responsibilities over there. So we really appreciate Peggy doing that. Let's see. Also, Kathy has got a new granddaughter coming up here before long. And so it wasn't when I stopped and talked to her about if there's a way that we could conserve on hours over there. She says, well, it would be great for me if I could work Monday through Thursday and take Friday off. So she's going to be reducing her hours by 20%. And so that's something that she is, it's going to work out well. It's going to help save finances for the church, and it's also going to give Kathy that time off that she's really wanted and is seeking. So if you call Monday through Thursday, then there'll be somebody here or be able to get back with you very quickly. But on Friday, Kathy will be out. We're going to be looking at other options, like changing out the thermostats for the some of the different areas, because we come in sometimes it's warm and there's nobody here. Sometimes we come in it's cool and there's everybody here. So this is really a challenge, working on cooling and heating in facilities like this. And so we're going to be looking at some new thermostats to do that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, the last thing, is last quarter's financial statement. And this basically, I don't think there's any need to go through the full year, because this is more going to reflect what we are currently doing as opposed to averages for the entire year. So the contribution for the last quarter was $51,511, and I'm just going down through the ministry areas that we've talked about here. And so everything is included in the ministry areas somewhere. And so if you have a question about any of these, I think Peter's going to answer that at the end. All right. Now, Doyle is here, and I really appreciate all the work that Doyle does do on this. If there's some information that we need, we can call him up, and he's got this down on spreadsheets, and he can print it out and have it for us in no time. Plus, taking care of the money week after week, and he's got IRS coming up, and so he has to do some things like that. He supervises the office, and I just really appreciate what all Doyle does, and thank you, Doyle. Okay, in benevolence, we spent a little over $2,000. Buildings and grounds, we spent over $12,000. One of the reasons was that we had a water leak, and it was really running up our bill very high. So we got that taken care of, and there was quite a bit of expense in doing that. But we had a new line put in because we couldn't use the old line. It was this old metal, and so they don't even make that anymore, I don't think. So we got new pipe put in, and it was a little expensive. We spent nearly $6,000 on missions, office expenses as far as paper and ink and some things, a little over $1,000 for that quarter. Staff has been $14,000. Upward basketball is $333 balance, and two things are helping that. We have somebody that supports that, basically sponsors it, but then we've also had a real great feedback from the congregation and supporting a lot of the candy and things that are sold at the concession. So Russ said there's another $1,300 that he's going to turn in that will go under this. So it's going to be used for the awards banquet that we're going to have on the Sunday, the 27th, I think it was. Okay. Wednesday meals. It's costing us about $2,400, but this is more of a, this is a, as much as a mission as anything. So that's not something that we make money on, but it's something that we provide. So, and I think that's a good, I think the congregation really enjoys that meal. Peggy does such a great job and elicits the whole family to come in and to help. But I think that is really one of the big things that brings us all together and sit around and talk and chat. So even though there's an expense to that, it's well worth it. The ministries, women's ministry, there's still a balance in there of about $300. Worship speakers, we spent about $1,000. So whenever we have somebody come from the outside, when Russ or David speaks, they don't get paid. But whenever somebody comes from the outside, we usually compensate them for time and travel and so on. The youth, they support a lot of their own work, and right now there's a balance in there of a little over $300. Or income, I should say income, not a balance, but an income of over $300 more than was spent. So whenever you take a look at that last quarter, we actually were $12,000 ahead of what we brought in. We had a balance at the first of the quarter of about $31,000. So we have a total then of about $54,000. Wait a minute. A balance of about $31,000. That's in what we consider for expenses and so on. Now we have other account, and in that account, in the maintenance fund, we have about $25,000, $25,600. There's going to probably be an expense there because when the wind came through, there were some shingles that were blown off. So between the insurance company and what we need to do for the whole roofs, was probably going to be an expense maybe around $15,000. It's kind of an estimate there. And then we have a Miss Alice fund that has about $3,000, and that's been used, I think, for scholarships for different activities for the young people. So we may be getting an insurance on roof repair of about $17,000 that will go for the repair there. Say, I think that's all I'm supposed to cover. Any questions? Yes. Yes. Last quarter. Well, I think that right now, I think that most people are putting in $3. And I know at one time we talked about increasing it to $4 or something. I think that is certainly something that we consider. We'll bring it up at our next meeting. Would anybody have a problem with increasing it another dollar a person? David? Probably. I mean, I don't know exactly that. Well, I think we are still, if we increase it to four and somebody can only pay three, let them pay three. Peggy and Russ are up there, and they don't look and see how much people are paying. They don't get a receipt. We don't have a cash register. So if you can pay four, pay four. If you can't afford that, pay three or two. If you can't afford anything, don't pay anything. So that's one of the reasons why we're at $24. At $1,200 below what we took in.
It was intended to be a meal stream.
Yeah. I'm sorry? I don't know that we've made a distinction. Sometimes they don't, if it's a small child, they don't pay. Sometimes they do pay. So we don't have a sign up there or anything. Okay, well, I think that's something we can kind of bring up and talk about, maybe have a sign if you can help us out, or whatever. Now, another thing's in all defense to Peggy. Peggy goes out, she buys the styrofoam plates, cups, and there's an expense to that. And also she buys some different things that she uses on a regular basis. And so much of that is used for other things. It's used for small groups. It's used for people coming in for this, that, and the other. So actually, all of this is not based upon Wednesday night expenses, because a lot of that is used for other times, and that's okay. We've not said anything about that, but Peggy's a better bookkeeper than what this shows. Mike?
How much does that cost
Peggy, do you know how much we had a break in? Most of you know that we had a break in back here, and they took some things from the freezer, and I believe that's about it. Do you know if there was? Does this include replacing that?
Well, I have not replaced everything. They took hundreds of dollars of spices. They took all the spices.
Oh, okay.
All the salad dressings. I haven't replaced everything.
Part of it is probably replacing some of that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, part of this $1,200, in addition to the other things, is replacing some of that. So thank you, Mike. There's still evidently some things that need to be replaced, but some have been, and that was from Robert. Phyllis? That's great. That's great. That's great. Okay, any other comments? Okay. David?
Here to talk about the minister search and how that's going, and we'll start that part with a prayer as well, if you go with me. Our Father, thank you for letting us be together tonight, for the goodness and love that's in this body, for concern for folks in the community, for opportunities you've given us to reach out in different ways. Help us, Father, as we search for a minister, someone to work with us in your kingdom and in this community. Help us to make the right kinds of choices. We pray you'll bless this process, those that would come. Help us just to do things in a manner that would honor and serve you. In Christ's name, amen. As many of you know, we've been involved in this for several months now, literally, and we had received and solicited inputs from different sources. We had different contacts. Some names came from those contacts or others in the body. Ultimately, the shepherds ended up screening a list down to six candidates that were pretty serious candidates, ones that we thought were worthy of some detailed consideration. We spent time looking over those in detail. From that six, we ended up with a short list of three individuals that we wanted to pursue further and sought to contact those three to invite them for interviews back in the December time frame. Two of the three responded, those being Wes Gallagher and Will Perkins, who in the December time frame interacted with us on a Sunday afternoon as we got to ask questions and get to know them. Because Wes was from the Nashville area, grew up in Wartrace, he drove down and met with us. And with Will living up in Illinois, he did it, his interaction by conference call with us. We got to get a better assessment of where they stood and what their backgrounds were, and believe that both of those were meaningful candidates to bring on for a further step of interaction with the body. And so the last two Sundays were structured in a way to try and do that, with the informal coffee kind of beforehand, with teaching class, with delivering a sermon, and then meeting time in the afternoon, and then an opportunity for the shepherds and wives to eat with them during lunch. So that's how those two individuals ended up before us these last 2 weeks. And we ask for your inputs and feedback as to what your thoughts were. And part of that came from the opportunity that the body had on Sunday afternoon to ask questions and try and get to know folks a little bit better. We got a broad range of feedback from folks. Not everyone gave feedback, but there was a decent amount that went on. And it was pretty broadly scattered. We had some folks that were advocates for Wes and thought he would do a good job. We had some folks that were advocates for Will, for the second speaker, thought he would do a good job. There were some that believed that either one would be workable and acceptable. There were some folks that told us that neither were acceptable in their minds. And there were several folks who passed along these two were interesting, but they'd really like for us to not make a choice just based on those two, but pursue to continue to look further. And there's a sense of this being like entering into a marriage, if you will, of we may have a yearning to get married, but we don't want to do it just right off the bat. That's nothing there. But there's the basic sense as we met as shepherds and tried to think about what was best for this body was the sense that we need to continue to look. And it's not to say that we've ruled these two out completely and they are off the table forever. It's not to say that, but that it's worth taking a little bit of extra time to bring some other individuals into deeper consideration. And towards that end, we solicit once again your inputs, thoughts, prayers, suggestions, your patience with us. Is more some Sundays we have really good speakers, some like this morning we have kind of sorry folks that are that were up there. No, but I really appreciate folks within this body who have taken on the task of sharing lessons. There are so many good lessons we've heard over the past several weeks and months, and it's not often the case that you're in a community of believers in which there are that many folks who are willing and able to share their faith. And there's goodness there. There's goodness there in helping us grow, helping us get some different insights and perspectives. So I appreciate all those that have been willing to do that. But that's basically where we are in the ministry search. Let me pause here for questions about that or other insider inputs about that? There are some places where you can advertise, and this cycle through, we elected so far not to. We elected to contact professors, teachers, contacts, different places to get names of folks they could recommend, and we got some from this body of folks that were recommended. We may do that going forward, but hadn't so far. Any other questions or... Hard questions go to, if none, and along the way, don't hesitate to provide feedback to any of us as to your insights and your guidance, your help and opportunities. But Peter?
Before I start, too, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight aching and yearning for this body to grow in your likeness. This is what we want. This is what we pray for, Lord. But our most ardent prayer is for your kingdom and your righteousness. And we search for that, Lord, and we look, we knock. And we ask, and we will continue that. You love us, and we love you, and because you love us, we love each other. We thank you for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Most everybody had questions and answers already, but if there's anything else that you need to ask, I'll answer it if I can. If I can't, one of these other guys can do it. So... We'll just take them now. Yes, David.
Speaking of preaching, I have it on good authority that we can't afford to pay the preacher. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding. Is there a plan in place to raise the money to pay the preacher?
I would say the plan is in each one of our hearts. You know, we know what we're given now. Everybody knows what they're doing. We will have to step up. And I do believe in my heart that the Lord will guide us. And you know, when we know how much and that kind of thing, you know, I just can't see this body falling back and not stepping up and doing it.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That was one
I needed to say. I was going to say that, but Joyce is in charge of the preschool, part of the education for the youth. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, Ivan.
Is there any plan or
a board of the? It hasn't been discussed, although it can be discussed.
And. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I haven't done in my Bible anywhere we're talking about ministry later. Go ahead.
Well, semantics, names. I would. The only reason they're probably not called deacons is because there's some women. We might offend some people if we call them deacons, but people are serving like deacons. Yeah.
In the organization of the church.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I've been on board,
yeah,
right. Well,
I don't know
either. I'm relatively new, but as far as I know, from me, there hasn't been no discussion about naming any particular people deacons. Right. That's a good question. It's a good question.
There have been other people asking me about
Yeah. Yes.
How much does a preacher cost these days? What are we looking at?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I know that I talked about that with my wife on the way in. I have heard anywhere from 40 to 60, somewhere in that area, maybe a little bit more. You know, we'll just have to see. Actually, it would depend on the person that we hire, what they require and what they need, and you know, we definitely don't want to pay more than we need to or have to, but we definitely want to support whoever we get.
Did Wes or Will have an idea of what they were asking or what they were
hoping? Well, I didn't hear from Wes, but Will had upper 50s, something like that, I think, is if I'm correct.
And Wes doesn't have a job, so he was pretty wide open.
Mm-hmm, I think so, yeah. But now, you know, somebody like Wes, what would it take for how many? Five kids, yeah. They're little, they don't have to eat much, right? But yeah, see, we want to take care. Yeah, we want to take care of who we have. I mean, they're going to be our responsibility to feed and take care of and insure. So, you know, we don't want to lowball them either, so. No. Yeah. Historically, they take care of their own housing with us. I'm getting a shake of a head back here that knows. So, yeah. What? Oh, say it again. Historically, they have the preacher that we have has taken care of their own housing through the money that we pay them or through other, you know, if they had a house before, they sell that and, you know. That's mostly it's classrooms and office space. The house over here has been renovated. I don't think it would the way it is now wouldn't suit for a single family dwelling. So, well, that's what we have is the property that's here. Yes. Well,
so when we see the budget and people see those numbers and people get exasperated about those dollars,
mm-hmm.
remember your own reality of where you sit.
Yeah, did everybody hear that well? The dollar amount that an employee gets is not necessarily, definitely not, what the employer is putting out. So. Yeah.
To get somebody for $44,000 and pay that they can afford insurance and all that, it's just going to hurt.
I think we supply insurance. Is that correct? Yes. So there, and you know, if they need dental work, I think we can handle that. My sons are very good. I think I'd take care of them too. But anything else? Yes. Yes. It's, right now, the heat's just turned down to like 55, 60. Oh, the harvest house. What are the plans for the harvest house over here? There is not. No, we have offered them other areas of our property to use, and I think they've decided to use the step study that they had on Wednesday night at family. What's the name of their church? Yeah. I think they've decided we offered them, but you know, we didn't. We love them. We love our neighbors, and you know, like we love each other. We're called on to do that, and you know, putting them out in the cold would be wrong, and we're not about to do that. But so we offered other places, but they chose to. Yes, somebody else said.
Okay, I didn't hear
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I would give you an analogy. When we had the Christmas, not Christmas, but holiday meal, we didn't just give it with a stipulation that you come to church here. We gave it with a stipulation that we love you. It's a ministry. It's a ministry to the community. It's not just to, what's the name of the church? I know it, New Life. It's not just for them. It's for the community. If we don't love our neighbors, and they're our neighbors too, then we're not doing what God has asked us to do. So it's just where we are. We can't say, oh, we're excluding you because you're taking people there. If they're going to church, if they want to go to church, if they want to learn something and they ask us, we're definitely going to help them. We're going to guide them to here. But and there are people in CR that come here.
I go to CR.
Yeah, well.
Well,
it did me good, too.
It is a good problem.
I agree.
But right now, I do know that this occupation is paying for the bill.
That wouldn't be a bad thing to bring up. We will talk about that and see. But I do want to emphasize that CR is a ministry. And it's something, you know, that helps the community and will eventually help us. God has a plan for them to prosper them. He's got a plan for us to prosper us. And I have, that's where we are. We will talk about that. That's something definitely to bring up. No. Well, mm-hmm. There is. I think. Do we charge people for weddings and that kind of thing? Nominal fee for that kind of thing. This is something that was started here. It continued here. Some people left here that were in charge of it, and we did not see the need to stop it. And that's where we are. So we don't charge them. She's right. We don't. It may cost us some, but as we found out, we are a little better off now than we were a while ago with money, and it hadn't broke us. And if we can't give to the community, what are we here for? So, yes. I agree. Everybody hear it? Again, I'll say, as the need arises itself here, this body has never failed to step up. And I believe it's because we love each other and we love our community and we love our God. And why do we love each other? Because God loves us. So how can we no, I just can't see not myself. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the school will be using it for the future business leaders of America. Yes, got it. Well, yes. Anything else? Yes, Dave.
Mm-hmm. And I don't
Well, I would say that I think that the elders are on that page. Okay. Anybody? I would like to say that I appreciate the opportunity to serve. You people that suggested me saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and I do appreciate that. And God has called me, and I'm humbled. So thank you for listening. Marcy.
Thank you all for being here tonight. I just want to echo what Pete said. I can't believe you want me. It's just beyond my imagination that I would be in this position between for you and for God. And it's just, it touches my heart that you love us that much, and I want you to know we love you that much. I pray for you constantly, and I want the very best for this congregation. And I think in faith, we have to have more faith than just in Jesus Christ and God the Father. And I have faith in you folks. I do. Believe me, when we talk about money and we talk about a preacher, I've said it, that the money will be there, because I've seen how it is for upward, the donations for that. Whenever we've asked for anything, it's been there, and it'll be there. I believe that, and I'm in love with you guys. You're the children of God. You're the church here at this place. God calls us to be in union, and we've tried to do that tonight, and I think all of us have tried to do that in here tonight. And I think the elders as a whole love you folks completely, as much as we could possibly love a group. Thank you so much for allowing us to serve you. Let's go to our God prayer. Yes. Yes, Keith.
No,
okay, would you go with me in prayer, and we'll close the meeting for tonight. I'm going on my knee if anybody wants to join me. Father God, how you've blessed us. Father, you've seen fit to love even us, Father, in all our frailties, even when we argue, even when we don't see things properly, even when we have selfish motives. Father, you love us, and you've continued to bless us through all these things. And Father, we have faith in this congregation, and Father, we want to be the bride of Christ. We certainly do. And we pledge our love to you. We pledge our love to Jesus Christ, who died for us. We pledge our love to each other. Father, help us to go forward. Make us your people. Change our hearts where they need to be changed. Father, make us willing and able to be the people that you would have us to be. And we expect that, Father, because you have promised us the good things and the spiritual things. And believe you, Father. As we dismiss now, we just ask you, Father, to continue your physical blessings on us, your care and your constant love for us as a parent. Be with us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.